The reading today is from Matthew 4, verses 18 to 21. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him.
Hey everybody, I'm Rick. Those of you online, hi. Those of you in the room, good morning. We all right? Good. I've had a half term, and I feel a little bit refreshed. So I am ready. And how are you doing with your tools for discipleship? The great theologian in my life said these incredible words on the screen right now. You can never have enough tools. Said by my dad, who gets incredibly excited by the Screwfix catalogue and also the middle aisle of Aldi. Because you just never know what gem in the DIY world you're going to find within those pages or within that aisle. But it's true, isn't it? We can never have enough tools. It's especially true with power tools. But it's also true as we think about our discipleship. We can't stop learning. That's the whole thing of being a disciple. We are constantly being taught. We're also leaders, because we're also then teaching others. One little thought as I was sat over there was, you are being watched as a disciple of Jesus. You're being watched in your workplace. You're being watched in your school. You're being watched by your kids. How scary is that? But as we step out into being disciples, these radical disciples that we're calling ourselves to, are we willing to say yes, even though the world would say no? Are we going to say, yeah, I'm going to be defined by what Jesus says I am, but also what he calls me into being and into doing? That's what we're going to be looking at over these next couple of weeks. And so we're looking at that moment when you're captivated by something new. Some of us in this room and at home are really excited by new things. Others of us are petrified by new things because we like to have that plan in place. Whereas me, I am that wide-eyed, wow, incredible moment at anything. It's true. And this week, I celebrated being 40. I know. It's a miracle I made it. But one of the gifts that I got off my parents was a red book. It was a little bit like This Is Your Life. There was just no music in the background, and I had to just look at it on my own because they couldn't actually come and see us. But there were the baby photos within this book. There were also the first bath photo. There was also my first car. And there was also my first Man United kit. They are the big moments in life, right? Right there. But there was also a picture, I don't know where they'd found these, but of the first time I was playing football in a football team. Okay? Now, I was about 7 when these pictures were taken, and I was playing in a team that was for under 10s. So I'm playing against people who were like 2 years ahead of me. And I'm not going to lie, but sometimes it felt like we were playing against the land of the giants. All right, I'm not the tallest. I never will be. I wasn't then. I'm not going to be now. All right, but sometimes going into headers against people who seem to be about Joel's height is quite daunting. Not going to lie. I remember the first time I went to train. I remember the first time that I was picked to play. No longer was I the sub. I was picked to play midfield. And then I looked at the guy who I was against and felt a little bit like Simba in that moment of the stampede. But I was still excited. I didn't have a clue what midfield meant. I'm 7 or 8 years old. I didn't have a Scooby what that was, but instead I thought, yeah, let's go for it. I was excited. What about you? Comments online. What do you remember as the first time that you were picked to do something and you probably didn't have a clue what you were going to do? But you were like, yeah, great, I'll do it. You know? Maybe it was the first time that you were picked to do something in assembly. Maybe it was the first time you were asked to take the register. Do you remember those days? Like, how exciting is it to go through school with when nobody else is around? All of those. What was that moment like? Do you remember? I can still remember being sat in that changing room with the smell of deep heat that someone had decided was a good idea. Deep heat is never a good idea. And to be fair, our team was absolutely useless at the start. We'd all run around following the ball. No one would keep their position because we didn't have a clue what we were actually doing. Our coach would try to encourage us, but in actual fact, he would shout things that I probably can't repeat on a Sunday morning. Also, parents would shout from the side as well. It just got very, very confusing. And to the point where at times we did lose by double figures. All right, we were not the best football team at all. It was shocking. And then you have that realization that losing isn't fun, right? Takes away the enjoyment of the actual sport. But we still did have fun, and eventually we started to play a little bit better. You know, when we start something new, whether it's a new school, new college, new uni, new job, whatever it might be, there is that sense of excitement, that wide-eyed, yeah, okay, I've got a fresh start, here we go. And in our reading, we get that moment where Jesus walks to the shore and says, okay, come, follow me, he says. I will make you fishers of men. Come, follow me. Now, I always wondered in this moment, did they actually just drop everything? Because you've got to feel sorry for Zebedee. You know? He's there doing his job, and then his two lads go, see you later, Dad. Now, I've done that many a time on a DIY project with my dad. He isn't very happy. But if we read our Bibles, actually, in John 1, we see there is a different encounter that possibly has already happened before this moment. It involves Andrew, and he is there listening to John the Baptist, and Jesus walks past, and John the Baptist says, there is the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the chosen one. And then Andrew seems to leg it back to his brother and goes, hey, Simon, guess what? The Messiah's here. He's arrived. Get ready. So then when Jesus rocks up and says, come, follow me, which is something that the rabbis would say, definitely something that they would say to their disciples. This is a different kind of rabbi, though. This is one that is very different to what they're used to. And so they go, okay, I will drop everything and follow you. At once, it says in verse 20, they left their nets and followed him. They're absolutely clueless, though. They haven't got a clue what they've just said yes to. And would they have said yes if they knew the whole story? Would they know what they were actually letting themselves in for if they knew that within 3 years' time, they would not only have learnt an awful lot, but have gone through an awful lot, and one of them's going to cut someone's ear off? Would they have gone, I'm in? I look back at my life and I remember the time that I said yes to doing a year out. It turned into 4. Didn't really please parents. They were a bit confused, like, what? Then I said yes to taking a job in the church that I grew up in. Why would you do that? Everybody knows you. I then remember saying yes to join New Wine as a recruit to go and mess around and talk about Jesus for a week. If at that moment I'd known the stress and the headspace that my life is now taken up by church stuff and by new wine stuff, I'd have said no. Because it's true. If we know the full facts, sometimes we're more likely to say, no. But in this moment, are we going to choose to say yes? And what I love about the way that Jesus does this is he doesn't kind of just rock up and say, so, I've got this idea about this kingdom of God stuff. I'd love to share it with you and just see how you do. Just let me know. You know, reply on a doodle poll, that would be really helpful. No, he is really quite directive. Jesus says, come, follow me. He doesn't say, if you think you might like to, come follow me. It's a direct commandment. Come and do it. But then he doesn't just say it, he also does it. Because at this time, he is doing what he says the kingdom of God is about. He is healing people. He is casting out demons. He is doing amazing miracles. Not long before or after this moment, he's at the wedding in Cana where he makes water into wine. So, as disciples, we might not always fully understand what we're saying yes to. But as leaders, remembering that we are being followed, are we going to start off by being people who are directive like Jesus? Now, we have a little bit of a phobia about people being direct. You know, we don't really like it, if we're honest. Who sat there yesterday with your popcorn waiting for Boris to appear and going, yes, I'm so excited. I can't wait. Ooh. We don't want to be told always what we have to do because it's not normal to us. Which is where this radical discipleship stuff changes everything. Because if we're actually going to say yes to Jesus, it is going to mean making choices that aren't going to be the most popular. Even though we might not fully understand the full decision that we're making at that time. I can't really think, you know, I don't know what their marriage or their relationship status was. But, you know, Peter hasn't turned up for 3 years. Where has he gone? He made a decision to follow Jesus. Come, follow me. Later on, we find that Jesus doesn't just ask his disciples to be part-time, like others may have been. He says, no, come and follow me. And one of them says, but can I just go and say bye first? And Jesus says, come, follow me. There is a cost to this. When we walk into our new job or into uni for the first time, I can still remember going into football training, and I remember the drive down and the walk into to where we were and thinking, I've just got to do my best today. And there is that sense, isn't there, as we walk into something new that we go, yes, okay. You kind of have a little bit of a prep talk to yourself, don't you? Come on, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to show them exactly how good I am. Here we go. And then I remember the first time I was left alone with our eldest. Claire was off to work and leaving me with our firstborn. Now, that morning I woke up feeling, I got this. Not a problem, it's all going to be good. Whatever you throw at me, small child, I can deal with it. I was excited, I thought, great, what we can do is I can teach her football, I can then play Xbox with her, it's going to be amazing. I went from being a world beater within 5 hours of being absolutely destroyed. What do you mean you won't drink your milk? Come on! What do you mean you keep on pooing everything? Like, come on, like, ah! But we go into situations, don't we, feeling like I can take on the world, partly because we've got this kind of enthusiasm and energy, and then it starts to hit us. And then we start to feel like, I just really need to phone somebody. But if I phone somebody, that might not show that I know exactly what I'm doing. And I don't really want to worry Claire right now. The other flip side is probably Claire was probably at work going, oh my goodness me, what have I done? Why did I leave my child with him? I was a complete novice. And I'll tell you now, after almost 10 years, I still feel like a novice. But we get through it together. And that is the joy of it. But as we become these radical disciples, I'm aware that I've needed to go back to who am I, and I want that wide-eyed wonder again with Jesus, of going, I want to do this well. And I might not fully understand why I'm doing it or why I'm making the decisions that I'm making, but I still want to say yes because I want to follow him. And we, in the way that we are followers of Jesus, but also in the way that we lead others, how do we do that? How do we do that well? Because I think that we need to be directive. We do need to say at the start of something new, maybe some of you are about to start a new job, or you've been given another level of responsibility, and you're like, okay, I know what we're going to do, and I've got these people around me, but they haven't really got a clue what they're letting themselves in for. Maybe the best thing is not to do a, so how shall we do this? Maybe the best thing is to say, right, come on, let's go and take people with us. My dad taught me how to ride a bike. Not sure who taught you how to ride a bike. But I don't remember him saying to me, so, how do you think you ride a bike? How would you like to do it? He said, keep your hands on the handlebars. Okay. Pedal. Okay. Keep your eyes looking forward. Okay. And then he ran alongside me, and without me knowing, until I looked backwards, he had let go. And then I hit the tree, right? But it's that moment, isn't it, of like at the start of something new. As a disciple, we have to trust the one that we are following at that moment at the beginning. But if we are leaders, if we are people who have got followers, and remember, a leader isn't about a title, a leader is about someone who has followers. So if we have followers, they are people that we just have to take along with us. And at times, that means we have to say, this is what we're going to do. And that sometimes is hard. But I want to encourage us to do it. I don't know what these next 4 weeks hold for you, for me. But what I do know is that today I could choose to say, come follow me. I could choose to say yes to that. And I don't know where your relationship is with Jesus right now. Maybe you are really, really close. And that is epic. But for some of us, maybe we're feeling a little bit distant and we're just like, I don't know who you are anymore. But I want to say, Jesus comes afresh to you today and says, come, follow me. And it's a challenge. And it means making choices. But I know that when I say yes, I seem to make better choices after I've made that one. So, let's have a couple of minutes. What is it that you need to say? I want to follow you better. Maybe we've never heard Jesus say, come, follow me. Maybe we've not made that choice yet. Jesus says, come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of people. Are we willing to say yes? To those of us who feel like, I don't know what these next 4 weeks are going to bring. I'm really quite worried. The peace that Yvonne was talking about, I'm not feeling that right now. But remember, Jesus is the guy who said, come on then, get out the boat and come to me. It's all going to be okay. Maybe this morning you need to give that and have that conversation with Jesus now. And for others of us, maybe we're just feeling like, I know I've got a role, a responsibility to lead others, but I don't know how to do that. I don't want to be directive with that person because they're quite scary. Remember, Jesus says, come, follow me. It's the Holy Spirit. Whichever of those three things we fall into. Come. If for the first time you're saying yes, or for the first time in a long time, come. And for all of us, Lord, I pray, as we start out into the unknown adventure of the next 4 weeks, may we be bright-eyed with wonder of what you could do in us and through us. May we take your hand and follow you. In your name.